Welcome to first quarter 2012 AmRest teleconference. Today we have following speakers: Henryk McGovern, Chairman of the Supervisory Board; Mark Chandler, CFO; Wojciech Murczyński, Chief Strategy Officer; Krzysztof Piechna, Group Controller; and myself, Maciej Małysz, Investor Relations Manager. We will begin with a presentation, then we'll have time for some questions. Henryk, please begin.
Welcome, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to present the highlights of our business and financial performance over Q1. Overall, Q1, we saw a continuation of the positive sales trend started last year. Margin improvements resulted mostly from the consolidation of Restauravia. Excluding the Western European business, they remained stable as a result of some offsetting effect in different markets and P&L categories that I'll take you through. Mark will cover it in more detail in his section on the financials. The continued sales improvement is encouraging given the softening consumer confidence and some negative macro trends that we see out there, like the inflationary pressure that we've discussed on food costs, rising taxes, and the high unemployment that we see in a few markets. Operating in 10 markets as we do with various brands, we're facing a wide mix right now of economic scenarios. From Russia, where we're seeing very strong consumer demand with high retail growth, it's reflected in its double-digit performance, and that's been an item that we've talked about over the last couple of calls. Through the neutral countries of Poland, Czech, the U.S., to Spain, where we definitely see economic weakness that also has been a stable item in that country for a few years. Spain is now experiencing single-digit decline in its sales levels at the Tagliatelle brand. Yet, because of the trade-down aspect of QSR in a wealthy market like Spain, we're seeing an increase at the KFC sales line in Spain. Overall, quite a mix across the different markets that we have. What's worth adding, I think, here is the depth of the economic model of La Tagliatella. It allows us to endure same-store sales declines and still maintain the margins. There's a lot more in that business model for us to work with. By the way, another thing here that's important is, as we've opened new La Tagliatella restaurants, that brand continues to enjoy a 100% hit rate on new openings and is well on CapEx for the openings that we've had. Other than the generally rising trends, the main factors affecting our profitability, comparing the most recent two quarters, is the seasonality of sales, rising labor costs in Poland, where we saw minimum wage and disability premiums rising by over 8%, lower marketing, which, as usual, is merely a timing issue, and lower G&A. We were slow to take price, and we'll talk about pricing a bit on this call because of some general worries out there of the macroeconomic trends that I talked about. We have taken pricing, which will benefit through our margins. Given the cost of labor pressures, we continue our initiatives from 2011 aimed at driving further labor efficiencies and reducing the impact of labor taxes, Social Security, and disability. We continue to work with our disability costs as we've done in the past and increasing the level of disability personnel that we have working in the business. I think this goes to the type of company we are and for the benefit of everybody involved. Our profitability focus is not limited to cost of labor. We have a lean project that's going on that is spread out of our Starbucks business and is moving across a number of areas in the business and is improving through our margin management committee. Though we're pleased with overall trends in the business, we're not yet happy with the pace of progress that we're seeing on our return on invested capital. We have made a promise many times to you guys about growing both the top line and the bottom line. The bottom line has trailed behind our top line growth, and we are intent in correcting that. Capital allocations at the moment inside the business are being strictly watched for their return on invested capital returns, and also the overall progress that we're making with the margin management. We expect our ROIC to continue to improve as we go into further quarters. In the reporting period up to this date, we've opened 21 restaurants, 13 in Central Europe, and 8 La Tagliatelle's. With our solid pipeline for 2012, we maintain our outlook for opening around 70 more restaurants this year. The lion's share of openings will be in CE, around 45 of those, followed by Russia and Spain. The international development of La Tagliatella also continues, as discussed earlier. We're having some natural fluctuations in opening dates of these new countries as we address the, you know, the standard items that one would expect to arise, but we do expect all the markets to open this year. So we should have plenty of guidance for the brand as we look at what its international capability is. Overall, with that development, we expect CapEx for the year to be close to 350 million zlotys. And as we're at 697 restaurants today, we're going to be celebrating our 700th opening very soon. That'll be another fun milestone for us. And with that, let me turn it over to Mark.
Thanks, Henry, and hello, everyone. We've posted strong growth in all the profit measures during the quarter, which continued the trend that we showed last year. EBITDA grew nearly 66% at reached a level of 82.5 million zloty. And also, more importantly, our margins rose by 1.4 percentage points to 10.9, despite continued pressure we've seen on the commodity markets and also, as Henry mentioned, a rise in the minimum wage in Poland. EBIT rose more than 79% to nearly 35 million zloty, while net profit, important measure for us, adjusted for the non-cash put option charge, increased by 11% to nearly 15 million zloty. The addition of the Restaurabia business enhanced our margins performance and added nearly 23 million EBITDA for the quarter, and that was net of international expansion costs of 2.3 million. Very encouraging is that the Amaris core business, and that's Central Eastern Europe, Russia, and emerging markets in the U.S., delivered on profitability growth as EBITDA grew by 21% and EBIT increased by 16% versus last year. As mentioned on previous calls, the company formed the margin management committee last year, and we've continued to realize significant savings in several cost categories. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Though we were pleased with the overall growth and profitability, there were mixed results by market segment. Russia continued to lead the way. We built upon strong margin growth last year with an improvement in EBITDA margins by 2.4 percentage points. And that was despite a rise in startups, resulting from a higher level of new openings in the first quarter. There was continued focus on improving labor efficiencies, which led to a decrease in labor costs by 1.5 percentage points, and they were also able to leverage the G&A as their sales have increased. In the CE region, overall margins decreased from 11.7% to 11.3%, with a decline in Polish profit margins more than offsetting the improvements in both Czech and Hungary. Even the margins for Poland were significantly impacted in two areas. That was in cost of food and in labor. Continued high feed prices negatively impacted the price of both beef and chicken, while a spike in the world coffee prices impacted our Starbucks business. Additionally, labor costs rose despite improvements from labor efficiency initiatives that arose from our margin management committee. And the labor costs rose due to an 8.2% rise in minimum wage in Poland. In order to combat the rise in both food and labor costs, we did take pricing actions that was mentioned by Henry. They were initiated recently both in KFC and BK, or Burger King. Burger King happened in April, KFC in February. Both those brands followed the pricing action taken earlier in the quarter by McDonald's. So with that, EBITDA margins for Poland in the month of March actually rebounded, and we were actually above last year levels, and we're experiencing the same results in April. So therefore, I feel that we have a good opportunity to be at least in line for the total year in Poland in terms of EBITDA margins. We did have also good news and profitability in both Czech and Hungary that continued to trend from last year. Both countries were able to reduce G&A as a percentage of sales. That was through cost initiatives. In the Czech market, we had better pricing from suppliers to reduce food costs. It was also expected that the margins going forward should be stable. U.S. Was slightly weaker, even though positive improvements in labor efficiency were realized. That was more than offset by higher food costs. Planned price increase in the first quarter and actions on labor efficiency reversed that trend in the month of March. And we saw actually EBITDA margins rise in the month of March from 6.3% to 7.1%. With that, we're forecasting overall margins for the year for the U.S. should be in line with last year. And finally, in Western Europe, the margins finished at 17.8% for the quarter, which was 2 percentage points lower than what we reported in the fourth quarter. Approximately $2.3 million in international expansion costs were realized in the quarter. If you exclude those expansion costs, margins for the main market of Spain were in line with last year. Most importantly is the new store openings. Performance in Spain continues to be higher than the existing stores, and this has helped offset the some of the impact of decline in the same-store sales for TAG. Regarding the P&L, there are only a few major items to report. First, as we mentioned on the call for the full year of 2011, we booked a non-cash item which related to unwinding the put option charge. In the first quarter, we booked $3.4 million. This charge will continue until the put option is exercised, which should be no later than April 2014. Impairment charges were minimal for the quarter, and we expect total year charges to not exceed last year. In terms of G&A, we did see some leveraging of G&A finally. In terms of Amherst core business, we actually saw a decline from 6.1% to 5.9%, and that was, again, driven by a lot of the margin management committee initiatives in G&A. Depreciation also may have been a bit of a surprise, and that was actually lower. The G&A depreciation dropped versus Q4, and was due to an accounting adjustment we made in Restauravia. So going forward, G&A depreciation should be in line with the Q1 levels. And finance costs also rose. That was certainly due to the financing of Restauravia acquisition. And also, in the first quarter of last year, we also had received equity infusion, which allowed us to book interest income. And finally, tax optimization continues, as our income tax for the quarter was actually lower than last year for the business, if you exclude Restauravia. We're continuing to realize significant tax efficiencies through implementation of our global tax planning, which we're working with Deloitte on, we hope to continue to offer good news in that area. And finally, the balance sheet remains strong, with net debt holding at the same level as we reported at the end of Q3 of last year. Net debt to EBITDA dropped to 2.3 times, which is the lowest level we reported since the first quarter of last year. As we previously mentioned, total year CapEx is not expected to exceed 350 million zloty. And the 50 million euro financing that we was secured in February. So we feel that we have a good, strong balance sheet entering into the second quarter. So with that, I'll now hand it over to Wojtek, who will take us through the outlook.
Thank you, Mark. Let me talk briefly about the business outlook for the remaining of the year. Despite current consumer and macroeconomic weakness, we expect the positive same-store sales to continue and have a positive contribution to the margins as well. As for Spain, After the first 3 months of sales deterioration in La Tagliatella, the situation has stabilized at a low single-digit level, a decline. On the positive side, as Henry said, we are encouraged by KFC same-store sales growth and its potential in Spain. Having said that, our biggest promise of driving both sales and profitability of the whole AmRest business is the launch of Tagliatella globally. I was there in Spain last week, and I must tell you, I was impressed by not only how busy the restaurants were, but the customer experience, the feedback I heard from many people about the brand. And this is happening in the market that's going through a lot of pain austerity programs. So that was really encouraging. Preparation for La Tagliatella test, global test, is on track in 4 markets. The global launch is about to enter the next stage, which is the opening of the first restaurant, which we expect to be in Germany. Our main focus right now, other than identifying locations, is resolving some supply issues in certain markets, especially around import restrictions. We're considering different options, including the local sourcing, right from the start. In some of the markets. As mentioned earlier, also our development plan is on track. We expect to open in total 90 stores this year. And as Henry commented at the beginning, we are looking forward also to finalizing our internal review of the capital allocation process. To put it in a simple way, we want to reevaluate how our different pieces of our business will contribute to our promise of delivering 20% growth and 20+% growth of profitability. And you can expect to hear more on the key conclusions of our business review in the coming months. Concluding, I want to say that over the past couple of weeks, we've had a chance to meet many of you discussing not only our performance and plans, but also our communication with the market. Thank you for sharing your feedback. It is one of our 8 core values that we consider to be essential, not only for our personal growth, but also organizational growth. And you may expect some of the feedback to be reflected in our future communication with the market. Thank you for your attention, and with this, I'd like to open the floor for questions.
Okay, thank you, Wojtek. The floor is now open for questions.
Kamil Szlaga, KB Securities. I have a few questions. So maybe let me start off with Tagliatella. First, I wonder what opening costs of Restauravia International you will bear moving forward this year, and also what loss on EBITDA should we expect on these stores this year?
Hi, would you take this question, please?
Yes, in terms of the the ongoing amount, the run rate for the cost, the market, we're looking at slightly lower than what we have. That we had booked $2.3 million for the first quarter. That should be dropping down. And actually, once we start opening stores in the balance of the year, then, of course, we'll, the net impact of the P&L will be coming closer to break even after that. So it's... So for us, it's we would expect another quarter of expense, probably in the $2 million body range, and then we'll start should be decreasing in quarters 3 and 4.
If I could add something to that, we're not exactly sure on opening dates, and if past is a predictor of the future, usually they all end up falling into the fourth quarter, up with all of the cost of it and none of the benefit. So I think we assume somewhere around a million, 2 million zlotys a quarter. That's probably a fair assumption as to the costs associated with the startup of these four markets.
Okay, but there are like opening costs, but also I wonder there will be like the EBITDA will be in the red for those restaurants, and the losses will be on the top of this opening cost. And I wonder how much it can reach this year, and when do you expect this international Tagliatella stores to break even on EBITDA?
That's really dependent by market. We would expect Germany to open up positively pretty much right from the beginning. But again, I'm using a crystal ball here because we don't trade in that market. So a lot is up in the air, but we are quite confident in the margin expectations there. And assuming, obviously, the brand is not as well known in Germany, it's not known at all. So you're not going to get the same beginning as one would get in Spain. But we do believe the product is well differentiated from what's on the market in Germany. And given the capexes that we've signed, we're very happy with the locations. So we expect Germany to be profitable right away. Then the U.S. will be more challenging because there's more infrastructural work that needs to be done to get the stores up and running because of import and export-related items with the brand. India, we will only be testing one or two stores at the beginning, so it's less. So we do not expect any profitability. We're really just testing the acceptance of the brand, so we're limiting our capital exposure in India. And in China, we expect to be similar to the U.S., where sales start out strong, but there's slightly more investment, which hits the P&L. So I think if you were to, you know, if I were to look into that crystal ball and guess, I would say that you could expect the U.S. and China to be pretty much at break even. You could expect Germany to be profitable, and you could expect India to have negative results. All told, I don't think you should expect much of a negative weight on our earnings from TAG International. I think you can limit it to the capital risk associated with us starting up. You have to remember that the economic model of Tagliatella is more robust than anything we have, and that's why I'm able to say that I think we can start up in markets like this without a significant drain on the P&L.
Okay, and moving on to Poland. You said the price hikes improved your margin profitability in Q2, but I wonder how does it impact your same-store sales in the country?
Mark, you want to take that?
Sure. I mean, it's certainly going to help the overall same-store sales impact. We will see that when we post the numbers in the second quarter. So it will certainly flow through, but we'll look to probably see at least a point in same-store sales lift on a couple of brands.
If you meant by that question, are we going to have a decline in our transactions because of the higher pricing, we are not seeing that.
Okay, but do I understand correctly? But you don't really see like an improvement or like a major improvement in same-store sales, neither.
No, and typically we wouldn't. Same-store sales continue to be a few points positive. We're in the single-digit positive across the markets, and this price change has gone in very smoothly, I would say. There hasn't been any change in the underlying performance of the brand. I will add there, though, that the good thing about our sales increase right now is it's coming from transactions pretty much across the board. We're seeing stronger transaction base, which is a healthy way to see one thing for sales growth.
Okay, and finally, coming back to D&A charge, I understand that there was some G&A charge in Q4 in Spain, but like I wonder why D&A charge decreased 40% in Poland versus fourth quarter, while the D&A halved in Russia for the same period.
Actually, that one I need to come back to you on. I know that we had the reclassification in fact, the total G&A charge for direct appreciation was flat, and it was just a reclassification on Restaurabia. So in terms of the other markets, we'll have to come back to you on that one. There was not really any significant change, and certainly not an account for us.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
I'm sorry. I want to make sure we understood your question properly. Was your question related to the change in depreciation at the G&A level?
No. My question was like comparing D&A charge, like 1Q12 compared to 4Q11. I saw like a 40% decline quarter to quarter in Poland and like a 50% decline in Russia.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't get it on this end. I'm going to have Krzysztof give you a little more detail on this.
The main reason why the depreciation charge in Q4 2011 was higher than Q1 was the fact that we had additional depreciation in Spain. This follows some adjustment accounting. Obviously, we are having this experience there. So the depreciation in Q4 was artificially, you know, higher than normally. And so, you know, going forward, you should take depreciation at the level of Q1 as some kind of representative for what we're going to see, you know, going forward.
But I think to address your question, I don't think why I was hesitant to answer also that we, in terms of Poland and Russia, we didn't see significant changes in G&A depreciation. As Krzysztof mentioned, the only change really was in Restaurabia.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, but like taking some assumptions, looking at your Q1 12 depreciation, it would imply that basically D&A charge would be lower in the full year 2012 year on year, which would really look a little bit odd.
No, we do
taking into account that you grow pretty fast.
Right, but we do expect it to be lower. That would be correct.
Okay. That's
any other questions?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, this is Eric Egidus from Wood & Co. I have a couple of follow-up questions. First of all, could you give us the pro forma figure for Restaurabia for the first quarter 2011, just to have an idea where was the sales and EBITDA, if there's a seasonality in that business?
I'm sorry, I don't have that. We don't have that for you right now. Give me one second here, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Thanks.
If you refer to the prospectus that we did for that business, the pro forma going back is there. I don't have it in front of me at the moment, so I can't give it to you. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then on the same store sales basis, you mentioned that in Spain you now see low single-digit decline. I probably missed the beginning. Does it mean that the first quarter 2012 was high single-digit decline or double-digit decline?
No, we have not had any double-digit decline. We've basically been swinging between 3 and 7%.
And the number of TAG International openings this year, do you have a range what we could expect?
Yeah, I think if you use between 5 and 10, that'll be comfortable We're just in the midst of permitting a lot of these builds at the moment, so that number will firm up a lot here in the next, 2 months. If you're interested, you can call Maciej on that. But if you use 5 to 10, that should be comfortable.
Okay, thank you.
And also, I can address a bit the Restauravia profit. It was about 2 million zloty, about 1.5 million zloty lower or higher than this year's number. That was, if you take out the international expansion, then actually Spain was up about 1.5 million year on year for the quarter for EBITDA.
So if we can say that excluding the TAG international cost, it was pretty much flat year over year.
Yeah, it was actually up year on year if you take out the international expansion by about 1.5 million zloty.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Hi,
this is Peter Prison. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Maybe you can comment your view on the EBITDA margin in Western Europe and the emerging markets. So are we likely to see below 20% EBITDA margin also going forward, or what is your outlook?
There are a couple of things happening in the Spanish business. Obviously, same-store sales decline is not good for margin. We've been able to offset a lot of that at the factory level, but we also have a switch in that business to more equity restaurants being opened. That's not a long-term switch, but it was one that we felt was necessary, particularly in a couple of the big markets, Madrid and Barcelona. This brand started in Barcelona and therefore was underpenetrated given the size of Madrid. So we have, and this was actually in the pipeline when we bought the business. Obviously, we couldn't affect openings too greatly within this short a period, but the openings that we have done with equity have been primarily around the Madrid area. So we've had some starts associated with that, but by the end of this month, there will be 8 new openings in this business. And that leverage really flows through the business well because of the factory model already having its infrastructure in place. So we would expect margins to stay above 20% on a total basis there.
Okay. Can you also comment on the U.S. margin? I see that it has dropped year on year 60 bips. So can you comment on that? What is the change, main change?
Well, I think, mentioned that, we had, there were higher food costs. We did have some labor efficiency programs in place. We've also took a price action recently in the U.S. And so in the month of March, because February was and January and February were actually quite weak here, but you look at the month of March, we actually increased our margin from 6.3% to 7.1% year on year. So I expect that the margins for the balance of the year will be pretty much in line with last year. I don't anticipate a erosion at all, and maybe even a slight. We kind of planned a slight increase in the margin for the total year.
Okay. And also, can you clarify me this put option conditions? Do I understand correctly that basically the put option could be executed already now, or have I mistaken?
Actually, we have the contract states that we have. It starts the period of time starts in 3 years from the time we signed, which would be in April of 2014 is the period that when this can actually be exercised.
But I think there were also some additional clauses on Ambra's share price or something, or these also apply starting from the 2014?
Could you repeat that, please? I didn't hear that.
I understood that this option scheme also had some triggers related to Ambra's share price.
Yes. Yes, there was a clause of hitting a stock price below 65 zloty. At that point, the minority shareholders had the opportunity to exercise that. At this point in time, there is no indication that that will happen. That period it actually will end here shortly, and so the clock starts again. But at this point, there's been no desire by the minority shareholders to exercise their option.
Can you repeat this? This is reset every year, or how does it work? So basically, they could have executed it, but they didn't decline. But when will be the next, or basically, if the share price would fall today at 65, they would have the right again.
The next time would be in June, the end of June, when the period opens up again.
Yes, if after mid-June the stock price falls below 65, it will create another six-month window in which they can initiate the put.
Okay, so after each fall below 65, there is a six-month window.
You got it. That's correct.
Okay. So let's assume that they would execute it. So what would be your strategy then?
To happily buy. We would be very pleased if the business were put to us at this moment.
Okay.
We did raise additional capital, so we haven't tapped the recent 50 million euros. So we would be, from a cash standpoint, we're in good shape to if they did exercise the option.
Okay.
We have a couple more thoughts to add on that at the moment.
I think one thing to understand also is that if you look at our balance sheet, the valuation of the option today have the assumptions that it will be exercised in 2014. Now, if we would exercise it today, the value of the option would be much lower because that the model implies quite a significant increase in the EBITDA over the years. So this is why, you know, Henry commented on that we will be much more happy to exercise it today instead of waiting until the Omrestavia really delivers.
Okay, but in principle, then this option liability actually should be counted towards net debt because this is your liability. Or is there a likelihood that this option will not be executed at all?
That's a very good question. I think one that we would be premature in giving you an answer to. I'm certainly working with Steve Winiger to figure out the best way to structure this, given both of our long-term plans. So. It's something that's on our agenda in discussions now. Hopefully, we'll have an answer to that question, but I think at this point, it's too early for me to say.
Because if you count it in, then net debt EBITDA is something like 3.35 or close to that, so not so far away from your covenant level.
Yeah, if you count it in 2 years, but you got to recognize that EBITDA will be up significantly based on that valuation. So I don't think that's correct because you're taking the cost in without the accumulation in EBITDA that resulted in that valuation.
Okay. But the option liability will be now increasing on quarterly basis, yes, like with certain pace.
It depends on the few factors. One of the factors is unwinding of a discount, and this would increase the option. But as you can see, also the euro, the effects to devaluation is affecting the FX exchange, and also the performance of the Restoravia itself. So when we can see, we just discussed the slightly slow development of the Amstravia compared to the plans, then the option was not yet adjusted for that move as well. So you're probably going to see, depending on those moves, this will drive the valuation of the option.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. So thank you very much for your participation.
Thank you. And if you've got any more questions, just feel free to call me. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.